How was your week? What were the news stories and the conversations? Acumen Media breaks it down for us.
Tanya Currie, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning to you and the Morning Mayhem team. I'm okay.
Yes, good. That is good.
How are you guys doing, being the epicenter?
Yeah, we are. It's a bit scary, I have to say, and quite unnerving.
Are you feeling scared?
Yes. Certainly, yes. And when we speak to, and obviously we do a lot of that, speaking to the doctors and the medical professionals, it's no joke out there. It is no joke. The number of cases being admitted every single day or every hour, people are ill. People are very, very ill with it. There's now a lot of debate as well around if it is spread by via droplets or if it's aerosolized, i.e. it's in, if it's in. And these are scary things. These are very, very worrying things. So
actually, no one knows what's going on, do they? I mean, we've got the world's best brains working on this thing, and they worked out yesterday that it was yesterday or the day before that it's not so much the surfaces, guys, it's the breathing bit that's the problem. Wow. That was a bit of a slap to the face.
Yeah, so, and now what do I do with all my wet wipes? You know what I mean?
I've also turned them into masks.
I don't know. It's crazy. Well, I mean, of course, we know that droplet spread is still a thing. But so the answer that Dr. Anton Meyerberg said is, listen, if you're wearing a mask, you're preventing both. So just wear your mask. Just, in fact, I saw another poster.
Wear your mask and stay at home if you can.
Exactly. I saw another poster, which I thought is great, not necessarily for HFM. It said, practice safe sick, which means 6 feet apart. And I thought that was very, very cute. So,
I mean, we saw Zweli Mkhize come out and warn us that we're in the storm now. And then we heard this ridiculous statement from Gauteng Department of Health's Masuku saying that we have 1.5 million graves. I had to read it again. 1.5 million. In the whole world, I think 600,000 people have died, and we're expecting three times as many in South Africa. Like, and then I was like, no, that can't be right. And then they said, okay, no, it's not right.
No, it's not right.
Nobody knows what's going on.
So, the thing is that they're never going to manage it anyway, so we don't need to worry. Even if they say they can dig
1.5 million graves if we need them. But can we also have land, food, water, and electricity?
Before we have water in the ground.
I'm really interested to know if there was a tender for this grave situation. I must admit. You know, Howard, the names that are coming out of, the media, like we saw the MEC Gordon, Kegakwile and the mayor, Henry Janssen, and ANC's Ricardo Mtembo all died of COVID this week. Paul Mashatila's wife and mom died this week. I mean, isn't that horrific? And then, of course, our hearts broke when veteran actress Mary Twala's death hit social media.
That's what you're talking about
earlier. That's what I was talking about. I mean, we grew up watching her. She feels like, you know, part of the family. It feels like you know her. Exactly.
And of course, Tumizi's heartfelt rendition to his mom was just like, oh, it was heartbreaking. And then others like Northwest Premier Job Mukhoro and Alan Winda or Winda, whatever you want to call him, also tested positive. Many journalists I know, Ashraf Garde is sick, Jermaine Krieger is sick.
Jermaine Krieger is
asymptomatic. So, like, this stuff is true. It's really real, and it's hitting people we know, and it's a pretty scary world we're living in right now in South Africa. And this tiny little bit of me that says, that thinks this is when we should have had the hard lockdown, not before. But anyway, like, so that
although,
is,
I just want to bring some perspective there, because I was on a webinar last night, and it was actually a medical webinar that I had access to. And one of the interesting things was one of the questions that they asked the experts, they asked Dr. Anton Meyerberg, is the lockdown too late? Should we have had it now? And he said no, because we are so well prepared in the hospitals. We could divide the hospitals into zones. We could train nurses about systems and training. Whereas when it hit Italy and it hit these places, it just came as this tsunami, and they had no time. So he said, no, in fact, we've had the time to, and even Gauteng hospitals, and yes, of course we hear the odd story of somebody being turned away, but actually everybody, they've got beds for everybody. You might have, they might have to phone
well,
around and say,
oh. Have been moved to Limpopo. I mean, I've heard that many Gauteng, patients, the Gauteng's run out of beds. They're moving them to Limpopo.
So a lot of the hospitals are on divert, but what they're saying at the moment, and we also interviewed, somebody else yesterday, is that they will find you a bed. It might be that, you know, you can't go there, but you have to, you know, but they are just coping. And that's the sense that I get. Yeah. And the problem is when you get more than 13,000 new cases announced yesterday, if that continues for a few days, I can't imagine that we're going to stay above water.
I'm telling you. Like, and then while I was devastated about all this, have you seen this thing? Why clover bloom? Have you seen it?
we've been pondering why.
But why, guys? Mm. Okay, so look, as a media analyst, I got to hand it to them. Like, everybody's talking about it. The engagement rates are out of the charts. But for those that don't know, clover have taken their white milk bottles and changed them to blue. And they've come out with a really poorly executed ad, sorry, but it's true, of a man painted top to toe in dark blue, making jokes about what people are speculating, and how they are confused about why clover's turned blue, and tell us why and we'll give you a prize. It better be a very good prize. Is all I'm saying, because I mean, I've been confronted with this story all week. I feel very uncomfortable with this campaign, and I'm not sure why. Is it because the blue face is a bit too close to black face?
Why would you paint anybody's face any color at the moment? Just leave faces and colors alone.
Is it because milk should be white and that sort of triggers my racism radar?
I think you're reading too much into it, maybe.
I think that's too deep, even for us.
Was I reaching?
I think so.
It just looks like a steri stumpy, and you really don't want to be having a steri stumpy with your cereal or your coffee.
I was really cross when they brought the Smurfs into it. Some even called clover Israeli sympathizers over the West Bank, and that's why they made it blue. I mean, you think I'm stupid? Try social media.
Oh my word. That's how we've lost it completely.
Little notice that the price went up by R3.50 for this blue bottle. And then, it was then that I understood why I was so irritated. Clover had done to me what lockdown did to me. It forced me to buy blue bottles when I wanted white. It didn't give me any explanation as to why I couldn't have white bottles. So, and then it ignored me when I raised valid questions like, how is this going to impact on recycling? I mean, white plastic is the most sought after recycled plastic.
That's true. Who wants blue?
Right? So now blue, and like, what happened? Did you just drop a blue vial in there? Like, what happened? Look, it worked from a media perspective in that it got sky high engagement, but I'm scarred and I think I need therapy.
It's so interesting because I think not even South Africans, everyone around the world, we are living through something and everything's changed in our world. You know, the world as we know it is just not what it was. Just leave the milk alone. It was white. We were happy with it. White. We don't want to think about it. We want to open the fridge and count on the clover milk being what it always was.
About white milk matters.
Yeah. Just leave it. Don't change everything so quickly.
Please.
I think that's maybe what that was about.
And then one of the most irritating things is this new set of words, justice must take its course. Like, let's get back to reality. I know the kids in the car, but a 2-year-old was absolutely mortified while she was in hospital. Mm. Primary school child went to go pick up her mask. Same thing happened to her. And then the authorities answer with this, justice must take its course. What is that all about anyway? The question is when. If you look around, like, I'm a huge fan of the Zondo Commission, but at a ticket of 700 million rand for my soap opera without an arrest, and we're still saying justice must take its course, I'm beginning to doubt this phrase, and the actual question is when will justice take its course, and where is my president? Where is he? I haven't heard or seen from him. He hasn't addressed me. There were rumors of a cabinet reshuffle. And then the DA said that there was a grand plan for the NCC to be the new government. The level of looting is just everywhere. That 500 billion relief funding has just been annihilated. Lindiwe Zulu came up and blamed cheats for the 350 grant delay. Which cheats? It's not us. Claims corruption on 20 billion relief packages for municipality. Sasa and Quintex collusion on tender was fined for with 250 grand. I'm sure the tender was worth millions. What is 250 grand? And then Philip Twitter cried in court and basically said he'd sing like a canary on the VBS scandal. I hope he's being kept safe because we've got to wait again for the gory details because justice must take its course. Like, people have been killed because of this VBS story, you know? Why are we waiting? And then Mboweni called looters to book, calling them Tutsis. Okay, call them to book, but when? Let's actually call them to book. So let me tell you who got called to book. 270,000 South Africans were arrested before breaking lockdown regulations. So the answer is justice will take its course when it suits others. It seems justice was pretty quick to fine us for our misdemeanors, but not so quick to deal with our small issues like rape and corruption.
Yeah.
I'm sick of this when justice takes its course.
You're absolutely right. I mean, is it because it's just so simple when it comes to arresting somebody or fining somebody for lockdown? It's like it's reduced just to the most simple things. But when we've got something that is
massive.
Yeah, it's maybe just too much.
Annihilation of a 2-year-old. I mean, that child will never be the same again.
No, of course.
You know, that doesn't.
Life ruined.
They say, justice will get to it. No,
there will never
Why
be justice.
Why haven't the whole
for
hospital stopped?
Yeah.
Why haven't they opened every camera? Why isn't everybody locked into that hospital and tested?
You know, when I read that story,
it
took my mind back. My daughter, about 5 years ago, had something called CRPS, which is complex regional pain syndrome. And the hospital, it's a terrible illness, but the hospital that is actually at the time, it's about 5 or 6 years ago, leading the world is actually the Children's Hospital in Cape Town. And we managed to see the professor there. We got her in, and the first thing that alarmed us was, and she was in incredible amount of pain. She couldn't walk. She was in a wheelchair, and we couldn't put her in immediately because it was December, and they said it's going to be too traumatizing for a child to see what's going to go on at this children's hospital, what's going to the cases that are going to come in because it's December in the Cape. So we had to then take her in. It was on the 6th of January. And of course, I mean, there was, we had to bring everything ourselves and whatever. That's also fine. The treatment was phenomenal and the staff were amazing, but they advised us not to leave her alone for one second. And that meant that between my wife and myself and my parents who came to help us as well, somebody had to sit with her day and night near her bed because we couldn't. And that was the reality.
That's disgusting.
And this is a children's hospital. There shouldn't be another adult there besides somebody who's a healthcare worker or a parent. And that's our reality
Absolutely.
In this country.
That is our reality. I mean, let's talk about children for a minute. I mean, this 2020 academic year, what a load of nonsense. I mean, Minister Bladen Zamande says we're on course. What? Are you kidding me, sir? Like Kenya, you just look a little bit north. Kenya wrote off the year and said, let your children stay home. And Kenya and South Africa are very similar, I must be honest. Like Kenya is very switched on. It's a third world, first world country, one of those. And they got it. It's like, why aren't we prepared to compromise, the 6 months so that our children can be okay? You know, we can't teach these children at home. They cannot. There isn't distance learning for our kids. So let's come up with a different game plan. Can you put sanitization into the 17,000 schools that need it first? Let's start there. Sorry, I'm starting to vent, but I'm going to move on to one of what was one of the most tragic stories for me this week, and that's Print is Dead. I've worked in the media monitoring industry for 24 years, and I have cut up more newspapers and magazines than you would ever even want to know about. I've had storerooms full of them. My hands have been filled with ink. And for 10 years, we've been saying, print is dead, print is dead. But it wasn't dead at all. In fact, it was so very alive, specifically from a community newspaper perspective. And the mainstream news media really made an impact. And then this week, we heard this horrific news about Media 24 cutting 660 positions out of 3,000. And that sounded the death knell for print. It's not just the print industry. I mean, many industries are struggling, but for me, this is a big tragedy. You know, like, I've had storerooms filled with them. I've collected treasures over my life. I've seen web press working. I've seen the production lines. And, you know, this did make me blue. Not clover blue, but it certainly did make me blue. No, not at all. And then across the waters, like we said, we were told the virus is airborne, so we're absolutely clueless. So I do feel blue about that. Ennio Morricone died. That made me sad. Like, I just watched the Spaghetti Westerns this weekend for a nostalgic moment, and yeah, he was a legend of his own. The bubonic plague makes an appearance in China.
Because 2020 wasn't bad enough.
Oh no, I got one more. A rare brain-eating amoeba is found in Florida.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
I don't know, I think it's been in Florida for years. Have you ever been to Florida? I think it's...
And would you believe Twitter actually tweeted?
Twitter tweeted.
They said that we could have an edit button, because everybody calls for an edit button on Twitter. They said we could have an edit button only if we all wore masks. They're such jokers.
I think that's brilliant. Oh, that is so brilliant. I'm desperate for an edit button. I really need an edit button.
No, you can't have an edit button. Not on Twitter. It's absolutely not allowed. Sorry.
It's right though, because otherwise you will never really know what people have said. It's just an impossibility.
It's an impossibility. And then I just have to get the story. And Trump didn't know the Christ the Redeemer statue was in Brazil.
No.
And was made of stone. No, he said we will protect the statue at all costs. It's in Brazil.
Oh, no. I mean, it's probably one of the most famous.
No color whatsoever.
Oh, God.
He forgot that Brazilians aren't considered white. And if they had to add color to the statue of Jesus, peace be upon him, he would be brown.
My goodness.
All that was Trump, though, by Kanye, running for president.
Yes. Oh,
he took off the MAGA cap. No, this is not a setup, Black Americans, not at all, not even remotely.
Wow.
Yeah, Kanye.
There are others, but I feel blue. I do feel blue. And well done, Clover, for echoing the world sentiment, actually.
Absolutely right. It's 8:30, Tony Curry. Thank you, as always.